Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, and welcome to the On Purpose Show. We're so happy to be here with you live on our first live show of the new year. And as always, it's always a treat for me to be here with Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Susan. Looking very much forward to our show today.
Yeah, and I think this show is perfect for this first full week in January, which we've titled, Are You Waiting to Emerge? And we have a really exciting guest with us today, Derek Riedel, whose new book, Emergence, 7 Steps for Radical Life Change, was launched this week and is already a bestseller. So this is exciting for us, Rick.
Yes, and I've really been enjoying Derek's book, so I'm excited to share him with our listeners.
And so I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about Derek and then not waste any time hearing his story for his purposeful work and to learn more about what he means by emergence. And so Derek is one of the new generation of spiritual visionaries and thought leaders. And as I mentioned, his new book is titled Emergence, 7 Steps for Radical Life Change. And he is the number one expert on the revolutionary law of emergence, which I think we'll learn is actually quite an old universal law. And he has worked all over the world with executives in Fortune 500 companies. He's coached celebrities, media professionals, and he has touched the lives of hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world with his powerful message of finding your path, living on purpose, and making a powerful impact. Welcome, Derek.
Oh, thank you. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're so happy to have you with us. And Rick and I have both chatted with one another about your wonderful new book. But where we'd like to start is to hear some of the turning points in your journey to purposeful work life.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my favorite topics. And I, you know, like so many people, I struggled for many years to figure out what my purpose was and to heal myself and fix myself and improve my life, you know, improve myself into being good enough and worthy enough to live a greater purpose. And rather than it, and I used a lot of the modalities and technologies, you know, self-improvement, therapy, and manifestation, and attraction, and all of that. And rather than it really getting me on track to my true purpose and improving myself, it actually drove me ultimately through such a level of, it increased my sense of inadequacy. It increased my sense of feeling like disconnected. And I eventually became addicted to drugs and alcohol and almost died of an overdose. And I remember lying in an emergency room with the IV in my arm and the monitors beeping and going, how did all of my efforts to live a better life get me here? And I didn't understand, you know, what was going on, and it wasn't quite enough to crack me open yet in that experience. My brother always said I had a thick head, so it wasn't, you know, almost dying just wasn't enough to give me the clue that something was off. And I just dug in more, and I began to become a successful actor. And I thought, okay, I'm on, you know, now I'm on my purpose, and now I really know what's, you know, how to do this thing called life, and I've got it going on, and I'm pretty special. And then I was doing a film in Jamaica, and despite having finally achieved a level that I thought, you know, I'm on track now, I was very unhappy. I was disconnected. And the film started to fall apart, and I went and diving in a reef and just really prayed to get lost from everything above. And in fact, that's what happened. I got terribly lost in this coral reef and stuck in this pocket of coral while I was surrounded by fire coral and spiked coral, and nobody knew I was there. Nobody was coming to save me, and I had no way to get out without being skewered by these giant spikes. And at a certain point in that ordeal, I knew I was going to drown. It's hard to understand the finality of that experience where I was stuck. I was running out of, I couldn't breathe hardly anymore. I was hyperventilating, and I just, there was no way to get out of this pocket. And there was a final moment of, I knew I was going to drown, and all that was left was complete surrender. And it wasn't like a bargaining with the universe kind of surrender, like, hey, God, if you get me out of this, I promise to go to church on Sunday. I'd already tried that, and the universe wasn't bargaining. And it was a moment of unconditional surrender. And in that moment, something cracked open inside of me. It's like that ego that had been running the show got ripped free from its moorings, and Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and cracked open. And I caught a glimpse of something that I didn't have the words for at the time, but it radically shifted my whole point of view of life, my whole identity. And in that same moment, this wave came along, or the water just lifted. I still don't really know. And it lifted me up, and before I knew it, I was standing outside of this pocket looking at where I'd been stuck. And the exit was inches from me the whole time, but I couldn't see it. And the man that swam into that was not the same man that swam out. Something had radically cracked and shifted. And I ended up going on this inner journey for several years after that, and I could see that so much of what I've been trying to do in my life, to, you know, the purposes I thought I was meant to live and who I was meant to be, was based on parental fantasies and societal conditionings and really a reaction to my own sense of inadequacy. But there was something inside of me that was perfect, that was whole, that was complete, that had never been damaged, and that couldn't be improved upon. And that most of my efforts to fix, change, heal, and improve my life were creating most of the resistance to that real purpose and that real life that was trying to naturally emerge. And I could see that just as the oak tree is already in the acorn, and the acorn doesn't have to figure out its purpose so much. It doesn't have to go out and attract an oak or become worthy or improve itself, that when the acorn surrenders to the soil and the conditions in the soil match that seed pattern, that it naturally emerges. And that's where the law of emergence came from, and that's where I began to really be on track of living what I believe is my true purpose, which was no longer about trying to fix and change and heal myself or other people, but was about helping them get in touch with that perfect pattern, that seed of potential that was already planted in the soil of their soul before they came here, and helping them to begin to create the conditions for its natural emergence.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And when you said the man who swam out, you know, was not the man who swam in, that really strikes me.
Yeah.
So let's jump right into the book, because everything has led up to this, and, you know, there's something you're sharing here. So talk about the law of emergence and what's at the heart of the book.
Yeah, well, so, you know, the law of emergence, as you said earlier, Susan, the law of emergence it's an ancient principle. It's not something I made up. It's just something I've codified in a language and in a framework that we can apply in a practical way now. But it is what all the great master teachers taught. And it's fundamentally that nothing is missing from you. Everything is already within you. You brought everything you need to be all you were created to be, just as every seed brings what it needs. And when the conditions match the pattern within the seed, then that potential inherent in the seed naturally emerges. And that is the law of emergence. Now, the even better news is that unlike a seed in nature, which is indigenous and requires external conditions to be right for it to thrive, we are endogenous, which means that we are self-contained weather systems. We bring our sunlight with us. We bring the soil with us. So no matter how many clouds are blocking the sun outside, and no matter where we've been planted in our experience, or how unfertile the conditions are in our external life, we carry the soil, the light, the water, everything we need to nourish and create the right conditions for that seed to grow. And so it's ultimate empowerment that no matter where we are, where we've been, or what's going on, when we choose to become aligned with this pattern within us, it begins to unfold and emerge in our lives regardless of what seems to be against us. So that's the law of emergence, and it's the importance of why it's important to begin to understand this new context, is that the universe really is an emergent universe. We've been taught that it's cause and effect, And so like law of attraction and things like that are based on the knowledge of, or the idea of cause and effect, attraction, interaction. But we now know from quantum physics that we live in a field of infinite potential that through observation and congruence, it begins to emerge. And then in the world of experiences, it looks like cause and effect. But that's what's called a linguistic convenience. It's an optical illusion. The same way that the sun, we talk about the sun rising and setting, but we actually know that the sun doesn't actually rise and set. The planet is revolving. Now, I hope I'm not blowing anybody's mind with that revelation. but the sun doesn't actually rise and set. The planet's revolving, and it creates the optical illusion of rising and setting. And so there's not actually cause and effect and attraction and interaction. There's really an infinite pattern of potential, and when the conditions match it, it emerges. And the reason why that's so key is that with all of our efforts to try to get stuff or fix stuff or achieve stuff or improve stuff, the underlying consciousness of that is that something's missing, lacking, broken, I'm not enough, I don't have enough, life isn't enough. And then through the law of mind and creation, we can only manifest more of that limited belief or limited self-concept. And that's why a lot of people try to do all this stuff to improve their life, and they end up making things worse. Or if they manage through sheer will to manifest a bigger paycheck, they're broke at a higher income bracket, because all they've done is manifest a more expanded version of their limitation. And it's also key because it's not congruent. If you're trying to get something or attract something or make something happen, you're out of alignment with the truth of your being, which is that you are whole, complete, fulfilled, and everything you could ever need, you already have. So we have to start, that's our starting point. I already have it all. I already am it all. It's already happening. It's already here. Now let me align my thoughts, words, and actions and environment so that it's a match for that. And that's when the most powerful emergence begins to happen.
Yeah, that is such a powerful idea. And I loved reading in your book, and you mentioned it as you described your own journey, that you know, this is the end of self-improvement. Say a bit more about that.
Well, yeah, you know, as I said, my discovery was that the self, the real self has never been damaged by any experience, so it doesn't need to be fixed. And it's already complete. It's already perfect, so it can't be improved upon. You know, it's like the acorn doesn't improve itself into an oak tree, right? You know, no seed in nature improves itself into anything. The potential is already there, and as the conditions are right, all of that potential begins to emerge. And so, and the acorn itself is not an inadequate oak tree. You know, the acorn isn't like, you know, a kind of a lesser version of the oak tree. The acorn is a perfect acorn. There's nothing wrong with the acorn. And so right where we are, wherever you find yourself, you're not an inadequate version of some future self. You are a perfect version of your current self. There's absolutely nothing wrong and nothing missing from who and what you are right now, no matter if you have what you might call a few extra pounds or a few less dollars. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Your current version is exactly where you need to be if you begin to mindfully do this work for the greater and greater potential to emerge. And so when we're coming from the paradigm of self-improvement, we're almost always coming from a place of, again, something's missing, something's lacking, something's broken, something's wrong. I'm not enough. I don't have enough. And that state of consciousness is what the law is operating on. And because you don't get what you want, you get who you are. That's why Gandhi said you must become the change you want to see in the world. And it's not some metaphysical trick to attract it. It's a mystical truth that you already are this. You know, this isn't like some, you know, nice, you know, I'm not like blowing smoke saying, oh, you're beautiful, you're whole, you're perfect, you're complete. No, that's actually the truth, as the great poet Rumi said, and I'm paraphrasing, if you could behold who you really are, you would bow before yourself and worship yourself. And again, that's what the great masters were teaching, you know, when Jesus said, you are the light of the world. When Jesus said, when you pray, pray believing that you already have it, that you may receive it. He was saying, you already have it, you know. And when Buddha said, stop having craving and aversion. In other words, you need to let go of this incessant struggle to try to get or get rid of something, because that's keeping you in a place of separation from the wholeness that is your natural Buddha nature or nirvana. So all of these guys were and gals were teaching the same thing. You are the thing itself. You are everything. And we've been born into an experience that has been conditioning us to believe that we're nothing or we're certainly not enough. And then we've built all these coping mechanisms and paths and patterns and systems based on a flawed premise that we're not enough. And that, and no matter how much you try to do from the premise that you're not enough, you will always be not enough. And the horizon line will always be way off in the distance. And no, even if you manage to manifest all the stuff, you will ultimately still be struggling, a hamster on a treadmill, and, you know, never be truly happy or fulfilled, and never be able to truly fulfill the purpose for which you were born, because the purpose didn't come here to fix you. The purpose wasn't that you came here to really fix anybody. You didn't come here to fix the world. You came here to serve an emerging paradigm of greater love and greater life and greater abundance. And as long as you're still a problem solver, you're going to be stuck at the level of the problem, which is why Einstein said you can never solve a problem at the level of thinking that created it. But when you move to becoming a vision holder, and what is a visionary? They're a person that's not trying to solve a problem. They're a person that has captured a vision of the larger possibility. You know, Martin Luther King stood on the Washington Monument or the Washington Mall. He didn't say, I have a problem today. He said, I have a dream. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. And that galvanized, you know, a movement. So we need to begin to stand on our mountaintop and discover the promised land of our potential and begin to articulate and describe the great vision and purpose and power and potential of our being. And that's when life really starts to get fun.
Derek, in your book, and you've spoken powerfully about kind of this illusion of cause and effect and what, you know, what's underneath that that's more true. There's a story you tell in your book about kind of going through a financial crisis and an internal change that changed a lot of things. So would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, that was a powerful experience. If I'm knowing the one you're referring to, is where I had done all this work. I'd had this opening. I was now in my apartment, sort of in my own monastic life, and just doing deep, inner, sincere work. And at a certain point, I ran out of money. And I, you know, the bill collector was knocking at the back door, and the landlord was knocking at the front door. And I'm sitting in my meditation chair in the middle. If you can just imagine me sitting there with my lotus position going om. And it's like, what is going on here? Something is wrong with this picture. And I remember getting so angry. I was like, God, what's wrong with this picture? How am I broke again? And I was like in Forrest Gump, you know, where Gary Sinise is on the top of the mast of the ship and he's railing at the heavens and saying, bring it on, God. And I had sort of my Gary Sinise moment where I sat down in my chair one night and I said, okay, that's it. I'm laying down the gauntlet. Either this stuff is real or it's not. But one way or the other, I'm going to find out tonight, because I'm not getting up from this chair until I know the truth. They're going to have to pry my cold, dead hands from this chair because I'm not getting up. I was really angry and really just frustrated. And so I sat in that chair and I began to pray and meditate and do this work. And I wrestled with my demons. And at a certain point in the middle of the night, you know, the sunset, you know, the crickets came out for their nightly chorus, and something clicked in me, and I had this opening, and this energy or voice spoke, and it said, you made your savings account your God. You made your bank account your source. And whenever you make anything outside of you your source of safety, security, supply, or support, the universe is designed to fail you, to betray you. It is basically, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I practically, like, looked around looking, expecting to see Moses holding one of the, you know, the tablets or something. It was just a profound awareness of what that means, thou shalt have no other gods, is saying, if you make anything outside of you your source, it's designed to fail you. And I, as I kept in that position, I was like, well, why? And it spoke and it said, because if you think something or someone outside of you is your source, you have to start giving your power away to it. And as you start giving your power away to it, you have to start manipulating or controlling or cajoling or twisting yourself into a pretzel to keep getting what you think you don't have, to hold on to what you think you could lose. And you're no longer able to be who you really are. And then you're no longer able to give the gifts you're here to give. And then you're no longer able to live the purpose you were meant to live. And so the whole universe just starts to collapse because you're now in a all twisted up, and that life and that energy can't come through. And so it's designed to start to fail you so that it brings you, you know, whether it's to your knees or whatever, but ultimately brings you back to yourself, to that inner source where everything comes from, which is within you, that nothing comes to you, but all of life comes through you. You are the source. Whatever's missing is what you're not giving. You are the source. And this is what all the masters taught. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Nirvana is within you. Everything is within you. And in that moment, it was like a pressure valve opened up and this peace washed over me. And it was, I began to understand for the first time the peace that passes all understanding. Because it didn't matter what my conditions were. I was at peace. And I fell asleep. And a few days later, I got a call. And it was from a former acting agent, commercial agent, and I had stepped out of the acting world and, you know, to become a monk. And he said, I know you don't do this stuff anymore because you're too spiritual. I was pretty crazy, you know. And he said, but somebody just called out of the blue looking for you, and they want you to go on this audition. So I knew it was an answer to prayer, and so I went on the audition, and I booked a commercial, and I made more money for two – I made in 2 days' work, I made more than I never made in a year. And I began to learn how to live more from insight than eyesight, how to live more depending on this inner source than on outer resources. And that's, again, that's what I call the great reversal, is that we're really, that's one of the deepest lessons we're all here to learn. And whether it's wealth, you know, it's important to understand this isn't just true about, you know, wealth, because it's true about everything. Whatever you think someone outside of you has, whether it's love, validation, approval, appreciation, respect, anything you're trying to get from someone, you in that relationship, you are saying they're the source of that, and you have to start giving your power away. And then whenever you start giving your power away, you start resenting, you start manipulating, and you become lost. So whatever it is, if it's wealth, you know, whatever, it's the same principle. It's all within you. And that's really the core of emergence, is that, as I said, whatever's missing is what you're not giving. That the only thing you can meet when you show up in a room or a relationship is what you bring. So it's very powerful.
It is very powerful. And you present it so clearly. And I want to make sure that our listeners know how to learn more about you and your work, because our time is just going by so quickly.
It is.
You can learn about Derek's work and his book at his website, which is DerekRydall.com. And Derek has offered a wonderful gift to our listeners, which is an in-depth, free emergence video training series, which you could get at emergencetraining.com. And I'm just filled with so many more questions for you, but let's see if we can do this one. Just give us an idea of what are those conditions that create the potential for our emerging.
Yes, so the first thing is, the first basic condition is beginning to accept the truth that you already have everything that you want. In fact, your wanting, your desire, the word desire comes from a root that means of the sire or of the father or of the creative principle, also from the heavens. So, which means that your most burning desires are not a sign of what's outside of you that you need to get, but a sign of what's inside of you trying to get out. You're literally pregnant with the things that you want. That's why you want them, because they're already in you trying to express. So you have to shift the paradigm and begin to acknowledge and accept that everything you deeply want, you've already got it. That's a starting point. I have. I am. I can. I am able. It's already here. It's already now. It's already happening. And as you begin to, and every time you find yourself stepping outside of that alignment, you just catch yourself and you bring it back. I've already got it. I already am it. It's already happening. And then to practice that, you can begin to ask emergence questions, such as, if it's true that I already am, that I already have, that it's already happening, that I'm enough, then how would I show up today? How would I show up in this relationship? If it's true, you know, in relationship, two halves, H-A-L-V-E-S, do not make a whole. Two halves, H-A-V-E-S, make whole. So when you find yourself trying to get something, you remind yourself, I've already got it, I already am it, or I wouldn't even have the desire for it. It's a whole reversal of how we've been conditioned. And then you ask, okay, so if that's true, how would I begin to show up now? And as you are willing to do that as a daily practice, you'll start to be gifted with insight. You'll start to be guided with a new awareness. You'll have little flashes and guidances of what to do and what conversations to have and how to, or you might be guided when you would normally speak up to shut up, you know, when you would normally be talking and or defending or trying to make, just be quiet. Or you might want to pick up that phone call or shoot out that email to a potential client and try to get them to work. You go, well, wait a second. You notice the energy is one of fear, one of stress. I'm going to just stop. As the Zen statement goes, don't just do something, sit there. And you're going to be still and fast from that reactive, fearful gesture. And in that moment, you have just burned away a little bit of karma. You've just burned away a little bit of that pattern. And you've become a little bit stronger in your ability to hold that frequency and that vibration of, I'm enough. I have enough. Life is working for me. And as that frequency, through action, through affirmation, through becoming still and practicing, as that frequency becomes more and more a subjective part of you, that frequency of I have, I am, it's already happening, it's already working, is a match to the truth of you. You know, like radio, there's broadcasts all around you, and your favorite music is playing right here where you are, but you can't experience it. It's not manifest until you tune the frequency of your receiver to the station where that music is playing. But when you do, that music becomes manifest. Now, you didn't make the music happen. You made it welcome. It wasn't in the distance. It wasn't in the future. It was playing right here, right now. But you had to tune into it. You had to become a vibrational or frequency match. And so that's what happens as you begin to practice this.
I'm going to interrupt you because we have about a minute and 30 seconds left to go.
Yes.
So I'm making the assumption that the other conditions are in your emergence video training series. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm giving you the fundamental condition, the beginning work you can start now. And if you go to emergencetraining.com, you're going to get an in-depth training series with worksheets and all that to support you in taking this further. And then if you want to grab my book, Emergence, you go to getemergencebook.com. And I'm going to also give you another almost $1,800 in private group coaching, Ask Derek forum, real support so that you can apply these principles and really get real results this year. So you're not going to be without plenty of support. The book's like 10 bucks or 12 bucks, but I'm going to give you a whole lot of support once you do that. So go get the training, go grab the book, and I'll begin to work with you and walk you step by step through the process of emergence.
Well, it has been such a treat to have you with us today, Derek.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I can't believe how fast it went.
I know. I think it's going to have you back again to go into some of this in more depth. But congratulations and good luck. And just leave us with a sentence, a gem of wisdom.
Just remember that what I'm telling you isn't theory. I'm like a mathematician saying 2 plus 2 equals 4. You already have everything you could ever need to be all you were created to be. Take a stand for that today and stand in that today and ask, if that's true, how will I show up in my world today? And watch as things begin to transform.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on the On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.